You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Today's podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Happy Wednesday to you. It's time to get into the weeds with the Bills' opponent this week, the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, the winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl. So let's break down this opponent and talk about the challenges and the obstacle that is the Kansas City Chiefs, the team in the way of the Bills reaching the Super Bowl for the fifth time in franchise history. We'll start with the nuts and bolts. The Bills have a road date with the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. The game will be played on Sunday, January 24th at 6:40 p.m. Eastern Time at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. The game will be broadcasted on CBS. Jim Nance is on the play-by-play. Tony Romo is the game analyst. Tracy Wolfson, Evan Washburn, and Jay Feely are the sideline reporters. I like Nance and Romo. I'll say this about Romo. He's a little bit corny, right? I love his football intelligence and how he breaks down the game, but there is some real corniness to the way this guy talks about things and in some of his sound effects. You know, they're kind of cringe at times. The Bills and Chiefs have met 49 times previously in their history. That includes three times in the postseason. The Bills lead the all-time series with 26 wins, 22 losses, and there's been one tie. The teams last played in Week 6. The Chiefs had a rest advantage in that game, and they won 26-17. This is a very different Bills team now than it was then. Let's take a quick look back at that game and talk about some of the context and players that were missing that won't be missing on Sunday, and really dig into why the Bills are a different football team this go-around. First of all, the following players were out. They did not play in that game. Matt Milano, Levi Wallace, John Feliciano, Dawson Knox. Four starters. Three of them, I would say, critical starters. Didn't play. This was also before the revelation of Ike Bocker at left guard. His first NFL start came in this Kansas City game back in Week 6. Obviously, he didn't play well in that game, but he's really gotten better every week and really entrenched himself, in my mind, as a starting left guard. Oh, by the way, Brian Winters was the right guard in this game, and he really, really, really struggled. Tremaine Edmonds was battling that shoulder injury at the time. Trey White played, but he was a game-time decision. Taron Johnson, this was the game that he was benched in favor of Cam Lewis for. And then, of course, Josh Allen was still working back from that injury against the Raiders a couple weeks prior. It was the worst game of the season for him. And we have to remember there was a lot of wind and the conditions were quite damp. Again, a lot of context, a lot of differences in this Bills team this time compared to Week 6. The Bills enter this game 15-3. As the number two seed in the AFC, the Chiefs are 15-2 and the number one seed in the AFC. The Chiefs have two losses this year. They came against the Raiders in Week 5 and then in Week 17 against the Chargers when Kansas City was resting a good bit of their players. Now, here's an interesting thing to keep in mind. The last nine Chiefs games this season were either settled by one score or Kansas City lost the game. Let's reflect back. The Chiefs beat Carolina by two. They beat the Raiders by four. They beat the Buccaneers by three. They beat Denver by six. They beat Miami by six. They beat the Saints by three. They beat the Falcons by three. They lost to the Chargers. And then last week they beat Cleveland by five. And so this team started off quite hot. A lot of very decisive wins. But then things got a little bit tight. And really every Kansas City game since the Carolina game 9 games ago has been closely contested. Head coach of this team's Andy Reid, Hall of Fame caliber coach, 62 years old. He's in his 22nd season as an NFL head coach. He had 14 years with the Eagles, where he was 130, 93, and 1. Went to the playoffs in 9 of 14 seasons, 5 NFC Championship game appearances, 1 Super Bowl appearance. He's now in his 8th season in Kansas City. He's compiled a 91-37 record. He's been to the playoffs in 7 of 8 seasons with the Chiefs. Obviously, the Super Bowl championship last year. And including this year, Kansas City will have hosted the last 3 AFC Championship games. Andy Reid's unbelievable. For his career, he has a record of 221, 130, and 1. He's 16-14 all-time in the postseason. He came up under Mike Holmgren. 10 of his assistants have went on to be NFL head coaches. That list includes Brad Childress, John Harbaugh, Steve Spagnuolo, Leslie Frazier, Ron Rivera, Pat Shurmur, Todd Bowles, Doug Peterson, Sean McDermott, and Matt Nagy. For his career, he's challenged 126 plays. He's won 30 of them. With the Chiefs, he's got 44 challenges and 23 were overturned. Here's an interesting nugget. He only challenged 1 play this year. That's it. 1 play. Another note here is that Kansas City was flagged 105 times this year for penalties. That's more than the Bills, 29th in the NFL. So the Chiefs are a heavily penalized football team. Quarterback of the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes, 6'3", 230 pounds, 25 years old. He was their first-round pick in 2017, the number 10 overall selection. His rookie season, he sat behind Alex Smith in 2017, and he's been the Chiefs starter for 3 seasons, and my goodness, has he done well for himself. In 2018, his first year as the Kansas City starter, he was the NFL MVP, passed for over 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. In 2019, last year, he was a Super Bowl MVP. And then again in 2020, he's an MVP candidate once again for his career. The Chiefs are 38-8 when he's the starting quarterback. And Mahomes has a career completion percentage of 66%, a passer rating of 108.7, and he averages 307 passing yards per game. This season, specifically 2020, he completed 66.3% of his passes. That's the best mark of his career. 4,740 yards, 38 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and a passer rating of 108.2. His average time to throw is 2.89 seconds, which is the 7th slowest trigger in the NFL. When he holds onto the ball for under 2.5 seconds, which happens on 44% of his dropbacks, he completes 78.5% of his passes and a passer rating of 118.7. When he holds onto the ball for more than 2.5 seconds, which is 56% of the time, Mahomes completes 55.1% of his passes and a passer rating of 98. So a pretty sizable dip in completion percentage, around 20 points there, and he also drops 20 points in passer rating. So Mahomes, he's very good when he holds onto the football and extends plays, but he's less effective, and I think that's one of the keys to keep in mind when you're looking for those little small advantages that you can find where the production isn't quite as good. It's when Mahomes holds onto the football a little bit longer and he starts to drift in the pocket. That's kind of when Mahomes has some of his lesser moments as a quarterback, which are not very often. His intended air yards per attempt is 8.3. That's 12th in the NFL. 12.4% of his passes are targeted at least 20 yards down the field. That's 17th in the NFL. A little bit lower than I think I was expecting when I was digging into these numbers. You kind of think of Patrick Mahomes and this speedy Kansas City offense and his big arm. And I honestly expected there to be more throws down the field. He does it an average amount. He's not an above average in terms of deep ball frequency passer. Now, when he does throw the football down the field, he has a lot of success. He is 26 of 73, 869 yards, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a passer rating of 109.5. His accuracy numbers, he's on target on 76.9% of his passes. That's 16th in the NFL. He has a bad throw percentage of 17.6%. That's 13th in the NFL. Play action, big part of what the Chiefs do. Mahomes has a play action fake on nearly 31% of his attempts. That's 10th most in the NFL. His splits when he has play action and when he doesn't have play action, they're nearly identical. It's not something that makes him a better passer. His splits are nearly the same. Now, we got to talk about these pressure splits because these matter a ton. Mahomes has been under pressure on 21.5% of his dropbacks this year. That's 17th in the NFL. When he's kept clean, he kills you. 74.4% completions, 8.6 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 120.8. If you don't get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, he's going to dice you up. Now, when he does face pressure, his completion percentage is 47.8, pretty big dip from 74.4 when he's clean, 6.9 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 78.4, so a dip of nearly 50 points when it comes to passer rating. So you've got to get pressure on Mahomes. Now, we got to talk about his blitz splits because there's quite a telling number here that we're going to get into here. When he's not blitzed, Mahomes completes 65.3% of his passes, 7.8 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 100.4. When he is blitzed, he completes 71% of his passes, 7.9 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 135.3. If you are going to pressure Mahomes, you have to do it organically with four rushers. You cannot commit extra rushers because he kills you. And the Bills know this. Back to that Week 6 game, in 34 dropbacks, the Bills blitzed him one time. And remember, the Bills blitzed on over 35% of the passing attempts they faced this year. But against Mahomes, in 34 dropbacks in Week 6, only once. He knows how to beat the blitz, and he's going to make you pay if you do it. You are unique, and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you started investing and want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're now self-employed and need some expert advice on what qualifies as a home office deduction. Or maybe you'd rather just have an expert file your taxes for you so you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live has tax experts that can answer your questions, give tax advice, review your return before you file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert, or let an expert file for you. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind diamond engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can view it exclusively at BlueNile.com. The offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs is Eric Bieniemy, 51 years old. He's in his third season as an NFL offensive coordinator. All have been under Andy Reid with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a Vikings running backs coach from 2006 to 2010, offensive coordinator at Colorado in 2011 and 2012. He became the Chiefs running back coach in 2013, held the position until 2017, and he's been the offensive coordinator since 2018. His offense was number one in 2018, number six in 2019, and in 2020, they are scoring 29.6 points per game. That's sixth best in the NFL, converting 49% of their third downs. That's third best in the league. 415.8 yards per game, that's number one. Passing yards per game is 303, that's first in the league. Rushing yards per game, 112, which is 16th. And just to let you know there, that rush yards, that's only five more than the Bills per game on average in 2020. Their weapons, they've got a ton of good ones. We got to start with Travis Kelce, their tight end. He was sensational this year. He is every year. 148 targets, 113 receptions, 1,525 yards, 12 touchdowns. He's big, physical, he's athletic, he produces after the catch. One of the best tight ends in the NFL. Their number one wide receiver is Tyreek Hill. He was targeted 141 times this year, 95 receptions, over 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns. He's explosive. He's a threat at all levels of the field. He has elite, and I mean elite, speed. Their other wide receivers, Mecole Hardman, another blazer, right? Rare speed, a 4.3 guy there. Sammy Watkins, you guys all know him, and DeMarcus Robinson. So they give you a really challenging blend of ridiculous speed from Hill and Hardman. You've got a dynamic tight end, probably the most dynamic tight end in the NFL, dangerous in the middle of the field, good after the catch in Travis Kelce. And then Sammy Watkins is a kind of a know-how veteran that gives them some size. And then DeMarcus Robinson also brings some size to the table. So they've got a really nice group of receivers and tight ends. The running backs, their feature guy is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You guys remember him against the Bills. Had a 1,000 rushing yards in that game. Obviously that game wasn't the story of his rookie season. He had a good year, but that wasn't the norm. Le'Veon Bell, of course, they got him from the Jets after he was released. And then Darrell Williams has been getting some run lately with Clyde Edwards-Helaire being injured, but he's supposed to be healthy for the Bills game. Their offensive line from left to right, their left tackle is Eric Fisher, a savvy veteran, not a dominant player, but an effective one. Their left guard is Nick Algaretti, an average starter. Austin Ryder is their center, an average starter. Andrew Wiley's their right guard, an average starter. And then Mike Remmers at right tackle. I cannot believe this guy has a starting gig in the NFL. Every time I watch him play, feels like he's getting cooked. And so that's the spot there where I feel like the Bills can really take advantage of a mismatch. It's Mike Remmers over at right tackle. Mitchell Schwartz is their preferred starter, but he's been injured. And I'm not sure that he's going to be back for this game. And so they're probably going to have to continue with Remmers, who I think has been a very below-average player but still keeps finding ways to start games. So you don't look at this offensive line and see any, like, above-average plus starters, but they're all average. They play well together, and obviously they have good weapons and a good quarterback around them that I think makes them a more effective unit than they are individually as players. What are my keys for the Bills defense against the Kansas City offense? Number one, don't blitz. Don't blitz. It's not worth it. Mahomes kills the blitz. If you're going to get home, you got to do it with four, and you got to play coverage. And this is one of those games where I say, Buffalo, you have the most cap space in the NFL invested in your defensive line. It is time to stand and deliver. You got to. You got to get home with four. Number two, play coverage and play zone coverage. Play very little man coverage. There's nobody in the Bills secondary that can run with Hill or Hardman. So don't find yourself in situations where anybody is isolated up 1v1 with those guys, because it is an issue of speed, right? The Bills just don't have anybody that can carry those guys vertically and stay in phase. They're too fast, and the Bills don't have anybody that can run with them. So you need to have safeties over top. You need to play leveraged, and don't put yourself in situations where you're in man coverage with a guy that you don't have the ability to run with. Now, the Bills are elite at taking away deep throws. They have been every year under Sean McDermott, and that's always been true. They've not really had a whole lot of speed in the secondary, but they're very good in terms of coverage spacing and staying leveraged. So continue to do that. And don't get yourself in situations where Trey White is having to run with Tyreek Hill, because, Hill's going to cook him. He doesn't have the foot speed to run with a guy like that. Number three, be disciplined with your rush lanes. You got to. This is, you know, it's not quite the Lamar Jackson thing where you need to just focus on bottling up the quarterback. But, I mean, Mahomes is very good in terms of athleticism and getting outside the tackles and making throws on the run. And, in fact, you know, that's what killed the Bills in this game the first go-round, was that Mahomes was able to break contain and hit throws while he was extending plays. And so the Bills are going to have to do a better job containing him and bottling him up. So, you got to continue to not allow quarterbacks to break contain and hit throws. And the Bills have been doing a good job of that lately, but early in the season it was an issue, and it manifested itself against the Chiefs. So that needs to be corrected this time around. And number four, I just wrote down, play with confidence. This is a different defense today than it was in week six. It's time for some revenge. That was back when we had all the questions about the Bills defense and what happened to the unit, and all these guys were injured, and they're still figuring out the defensive line rotation, and A.J. Klein was a disaster. This is not the same team that it was back then, and so now it's time to deliver and get that revenge and play with confidence. that you didn't have back when these teams hooked up the first time around. The Bills' defense has found itself. They're playing with an edge, and I want to see what this unit looks like the way they're playing today against this Chiefs offense. It's a difficult assignment, but you know, the Bills should have a whole lot more confidence defensively this time around. Are you ready for some football? Conference championship weekend is right around the corner, and there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Maybe you want to throw some cash down on the Bills this weekend, or you like the Packers or Bucks, or you want to try a prop bet. You got to head over to betonline.ag because they have the best lines in the business. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The defensive coordinator for the Chiefs is Steve Spagnuolo, 60 years old. He's in his 11th season as either an NFL defensive coordinator or a head coach. The last two seasons he has spent as the Chiefs defensive coordinator, and they have been a top 10 scoring defense in each of the last two seasons. In 2020, they're allowing 22.6 points per game. That's 10th in the NFL. 358 yards per game. That's 16th. 122 rush yards per game. That's 21st. And 236 passing yards per game. That is 14th. Let's talk about this personnel. Let's start with this defensive line. They're down linemen Chris Jones and Derek Nnadi. Those are two studs. Chris Jones ate the Bills' offensive line up the first time these two teams hooked up. I mean, we were talking about Brian Winters at right guard and Ike Bocker's first NFL start, so you would expect a superstar like Jones to eat in that game, and he did. Now, I'm anxious to see how this matchup unfolds this time around. Does having John Feliciano back at right guard make a difference? Does Ike Bocker not in his first start and having several good games under his belt lead to a better performance this time around against Chris Jones? Derek Nnadi is an absolute tank against the run, and then they also play Tershawn Wharton and Mike Pennell. Wharton's a rookie who's been a good player for them, and Pennell's kind of a savvy veteran that's been around for a bit and is just a quality rotational player. On the edge, Frank Clark is their main guy. He hasn't been as good as he's been in the past this year, but still a very potent edge rusher. They'll also play Tano Passignon, who is a long, heavy-handed dude, and then a couple of rotational players in Alex Okafor, who's a savvy veteran, and Michael Dana, who's been a real find for them, a late-round draft pick that has given them quality rotational play on the edge. At linebacker, a couple of veterans in Anthony Hitchens and Damian Wilson. Neither are plus players, but they're average and kind of know what they're doing. They've played a lot of football. They've seen a lot of football. Not overly dynamic guys, but guys that are baseline starters in the NFL. Their cornerbacks are two outside guys, are Tre'Varius Ward and Bashaud Breeland. Their inside slot corner is Al'Jarius Sneed. Sneed's a rookie, and he's been sensational in the slot this year. I'll be interested to see how he does against Cole Beasley. Ward and Breeland. Breeland's a veteran. He's been around for a while. I think he's an average player. And Ward has been pretty good, a young player in the NFL that has outperformed where he was acquired. I think he was actually a UDFA, who's been a real good find for them. At safety, they got a really good trio, Juan Thornhill, Daniel Sorensen, and Tyrann Mathieu. Mathieu, he just makes plays, right? I mean, whether it's forcing fumbles, coming up and making big tackles, creating interceptions, he's one of those guys that you have to account for because he's aggressive and he makes plays on the football. Juan Thornhill, I think, is a really outstanding deep safety, takes great angles, has good ball skills. You saw that show up when these two teams played in week 6. Juan Thornhill was very disruptive down the field, took good angles to the football. And then Daniel Sorensen's just been on this team forever, kind of a know-how guy that keeps finding himself on the field and in meaningful situations. So what are my keys for the Bills offense against the Kansas City defense? Number one, have a plan for Chris Jones. Don't let this guy wreck your game plan. Number two, find one-on-one matchups with your wide receivers against their cornerbacks. I think the sum of the cornerbacks are better than each individual part. And that's why I think if you can get some matchups here, there's going to be some mismatches, whether that's John Brown or Stephon Diggs or Cole Beasley. I think there's going to be some opportunities there to find some space in this secondary, but you do have to be aware of these safeties because I think that's really the strength of the back seven is Mathau and Thornhill and Sorensen. Number three, I wrote down, have some horizontal spread concepts. Make this team tackle. They're not great at tackling. They had 120 missed tackles in the regular season. That's seven less than the Bills. And they only had 47 tackles for loss, which was 31st in the NFL. So I would try to find some situations where you can isolate one of your weapons against one of their defenders and force them to make some tackles and get the ball out of Josh's hands a little bit. And I think once you stress them a little bit horizontally, it's going to really open up the spacing in the intermediate and deeper areas of the field. And then the last thing I wrote down, which probably should have been the first thing I wrote down, was ride Josh Allen. I mean, this is your guy. He's been playing at an MVP caliber all year long. And this is a Chiefs team that Josh played his worst game of the season against. Now, remember, there was wind, a ton of wind and rain. It was a tough situation. Go get your revenge in this game, Josh. Go earn it. Go prove it. Go dethrone the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. You know he's hungry to get back against this team and prove that he can produce against what is arguably the best team in football. And so I would want to ride that. I'd want to have this be a Josh Allen-centric game plan and ride that to whatever it produces. But I think that's going to be your best chance here. You want to run the ball a little bit, keep them honest, but this really needs to be the Josh Allen show when it comes to the Bills' offense. When it comes to their specialist, their kicker is Harrison Butker. He's been their kicker since 2017. He's outstanding. He's made over 90% of his kicks for his career. He's extremely consistent. He's made at least 88% of his kicks in every season. This year, he's making just under 93%. Now, the fun thing about Butker is he's really good at kicking field goals, but he'll miss some extra points. He missed six of them this year. Their punter is Tommy Townsend, a UDFA out of Florida. He's been pretty good, an average of just over 40 yards per punt in terms of net average this year. And the return guy is Mecole Hardman, and he scares me because he has unbelievable speed. And so I would make sure that my punts were angled and not giving him advantageous opportunities to return the football, and I would kick the ball through the end zone every time to make sure there's no threat of this man getting a long kick return against you. His speed is ridiculous, and I'm not interested in seeing him return the football against the Bills. So there you go. That's it. That's the comprehensive primer on the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of challenges that this football team offers, but this Bills team offers a lot of challenges to them as well, and this Bills team is a different one compared to Week 6. That's going to do it for us today here on this podcast. Tomorrow is going to be our crossover preview with Locked On Chiefs. I'm anxious to get their perspective on this game. I'm anxious to get their take on why the Chiefs have been playing so many close games lately and just get their feel for what their expectations are for this AFC Championship game. So don't miss it. Make sure that you're subscribed, rate, review, and share the podcast. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.